And I wanted to talk to us about shoes and our thoughts. Now, on the spiritual end of it, is we have, as believers in Christ, we have this advantage, I shouldn't say advantage, but we have this unique gift, and that is the power of the Holy Spirit to be able to instruct us and give us strength and courage. But even though we have the Spirit of God in us, even though we're Christians, it still starts in the mind. Salvation starts in the mind because you first have to comprehend sin and your need, and salvation starts in the mind. But the scriptures are interesting. They spend an awful lot of time talking about the mind. In Proverbs and Psalms, which we're not going to read today, this talks about what's in the mind. And I do believe that if we have a strong spiritual mind, it will trickle down to everything else. Because a strong spiritual mind has the ability to take whatever situation we're into and build perspective of it's okay. When you have a spiritual insight, your mind is developed, and God controls your mind, and you're able to give your mind to God, to where whatever happens, we find that it is able to look at any situation, failures or defeats, with the perspective that all is okay. A couple weeks ago, as many of you know, I lost re-election. And I remember the day after, people calling me and texting me, and I didn't take a whole lot of phone calls, and I do appreciate those that called. And Dawn was continuously to connect with me, how you doing. I was actually doing okay, better than I thought. Because I resolved myself to this, is that everything in God's dimension, in God's realm, happens for a reason. It wasn't a failure. It was a loss of an election, but it was not a defining moment of life, because at that moment of loss, the Spirit of God speaks to me and says, it's not an end to something, it's a new opportunity for what can happen next. And to me, it gave me a peace that I was able to talk to the press and stuff, and I think some were expecting me to give this speech of hostility or whatever, but to me, you got to respect the voters, that's the American way. But the thing was is that I looked at myself, it's a new opportunity to do something different. I got out the next week, and of course, we went out shopping, got some new furniture, bought a new snowblower. I got one with power, and excited. I got heated grips, folks, okay? I got a snowblower that a 60-year-old man doesn't need to really work hard to get rid of snow, okay? That's what I wanted. But I decided, okay, Dawn and I talked, I said, okay, this is an opportunity, I said. So I looked at classes at his Nuntuck. I've always had a desire to go into personal training for those that are 55 or 60 and older, because it's a great need out there. I went out and bought a new book, began to read. I went out and bought a new guitar and started practicing taking the guitar up again. And I thought to myself, whatever happens, it's not an end, it's an entrance into the possibilities. But it all starts with your mind. I've seen people lose things and fail at things, and it defeats them, and they hibernate, and you never see them again because they can't handle defeat. Why? It's because their mind got messed up, their thinking got messed up, they took it as an end of something instead of as an entrance into something that can be positive and even possibly better than they ever had before. And I've studied leaders, and I've seen leaders that have failed and resurrected themselves. I've seen them be crushed and resurrected. And it all starts in the mind. And that's why I want to approach this today. Let me give you the opening statement. Our thoughts create our reality. What we think about will determine where we go. Our thoughts create our reality. See, reality is where you are, but obviously situations can change. But if you have a perspective that God is involved in everything, your reality will not fluctuate based upon the environment, the decisions, the actions around you or to you. Your thoughts create your reality, and what you think about will determine where you go. Let's start off, first of all, by reading some scriptures about thinking, about what we dwell on, about our mind, about our thoughts. Let's start, first of all, one of my favorites. It is Romans chapter number 12, verse 1 and 2. And Paul writes this, and I think it's important for us to take the lessons from this. He says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, you and I are the faith, by the way, and I'm separating those of the faith from those that are from secular. I do think that people outside Christianity can have positive thoughts and do the right things, but there's something about being part of the family of God Christians that empowers us beyond the normal secular thinking. And he says it here, I urge you, brothers and sisters, the Christian faith, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will. And it's interesting here, he says, don't be like the world who bounces around based upon thinking and stimulus outside in the environment. He says, I want you to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that word renewing in the Greek context means ongoing. There are some Greek and I'm not a Greek expert, some may know better more than I do, but I always look at tenses. That means exactly, there are some that mean tense means it happened in the past once and for all. Some tenses in the Greek language means that it's something that happens once right now. This one has to do with a continuous action to be transformed by the continual renewing of your mind. But here's the promise that he gives. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will. And that's what I was just talking about. We sometimes decide success and failure based upon events in our lives. God wants us to know that as we renew our mind, continuously to train our mind, renewing our mind with the spiritual things, that we can see what God's will, and God's will in our life can be a changing opportunity from situation to situation to situation. It's interesting, I said I study presidential history and stuff, and it's interesting that sometimes you think when you get to a certain age that you're coming to the culmination, and I talk this way sometimes, it's coming to an end. I'm in the last chapter of my book, although when you talked about folks that are 90 and 95 still being active and writing, I got 25 good years or so to go. But it all has to do with your mind. But it says here, when you transform your mind, continually renew your mind in things of God, you will be able to test and approve God's will, which you will be able to see the positive and the negative. You will be able to see that this closed door just opened another door and another possibility. It's endless. And that you know it's good and pleasing and perfect will. The next verse I just want to read is in Ephesians chapter number 4, verse 20 to 32. And you have to understand, the same individual wrote both of these. So there is some kind of interlocking there that goes along with this. And Paul writes this in Ephesians 4, 20 through 32. He says, that, however, is not the way of life you've learned. He talks about a past scripture. But when you heard about Christ, so you were taught in him in the accordance with the truth that is Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitudes of your mind, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehoods and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. Do not give to the devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work. Do something useful with your hands that you may have something to share with those in need. He says, do not let any unwholesome talk come from your mouth, but only what is helpful, builders of others up according to their needs, that it may be a benefit to those who listen. He says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit, whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness and rage and anger and galling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another, just as Christ forgave you. But I go back to that one part of that verse, in verse number 23, it says, to be made new in the attitudes of your mind. Whatever happens to us, Paul is saying here that we need to be compassionate, we need to be loving, but it all comes down to the attitudes of our mind. And that idea is this, is that our mind controls our perception and our relationships. It controls the way we treat people, the way we see failures, the way we see defeats and successes. And it all comes back down to that training to understand that our mind is what controls that, the attitudes of our mind. Colossians 3:2 says this, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. A simple verse, but it has to do with where your mind is focused. And then the last verse I want to read is Philippians chapter number 2, chapter number 4, verse 2 through 9. And it says this, I plead with Eudia, I can't pronounce the name right, I plead with Sisyphus to be the same mind in the Lord. Yes, I ask you, my true companions, help these women since they have continued at my side in the cause of the gospel along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and I say again, rejoice. Rejoice, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. Whatever you've loved long and received and heard of me and seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. And it's interesting here, he's sort of that time where he says, think on these things. Our minds control our perception and our perspective in life. You know, I've seen so many people that when they've gone through difficult times, and don't get me wrong, when you go through a difficult time, there's going to be a little bit of withdrawal. And I've seen folks that are outside Christianity, and we are kind of talking about two different realms of understanding here, that when they have a defeat, they get bitter, they get angry, they become very, very hard to be around. Because basically their perspective is about, is sometimes dealing so much with their heart that their mind is being controlled by their heart, which means their emotions are controlling their mind. But the Christian body is different. When we go through defeats, when we go through downtimes, when we go through things that are disastrous, we go through rejection, whatever, it is our mind that is living and focused on God that tells our hearts what kind of emotions to have. That's the difference. See, many times what happens is your heart is hurt, and therefore it tells your mind to react. Your heart is hurt, and it tells your mind to vent back, to attack, to have rage, to have anger, to have malice, to do those things there. But God has told us to transform our minds, that we need to think on these things so that it controls our thoughts, and our heart and our emotions will be controlled by our thinking. Because the heart, the Bible tells in the Old Testament, even the New Testament tells the heart is deceitful. It can misguide you. It can mislead you. And so it's important that we control our thoughts so that you can be successful and I can be successful and we can be the kind of persons that God wants us to be. There's a lot of books out there. There's one book that Tim LaHaye wrote, and I think it was back in the 70s, called The Battle of the Mind. Wonderful book if you can find it. It talks a little bit about how the difference between the heart, the emotions, and the mind. And we as Christians many times, we all talk about the heart. Give your heart to God. You know, let your heart be your guide. You know, we need to have more emotions in service. I want to tell you, it's all great and good, but you need to develop and let God control and lead and transform your mind. When you do that, everything else will fall in place. Let me give you some things today about what choosing our thoughts will do. First of all, our thoughts determine our attitudes. Our thoughts determine our attitude. I have seen people that are controlled by total emotions, and their attitudes go up and down and fluctuate like crazy. They're constantly in a state of fluctuation. One day they're happy, one day they're sad, one day they're pleasant, one day they're not. And their attitude is never stable. To me, is those who let God and Christ control our thoughts, this is my view of you, which is in Christ Jesus, will determine your attitude, and your attitude will be pretty balanced. When you have the right thinking. Let's face it, when we face defeat or anything, what happens? We know how to respond. We know what to do and not to do. If you're married, you know what not to say to your spouse when you're in a time of disruption in the marriage and when there's an argument. You know in your mind what you should or should not say, but what happens? Your heart takes over and you release anger. And it changes the demeanor of everything around you and your attitude changes. I've seen people that work jobs that were bubbly and encouraged and motivated, and they had a defeat in their workplace, and all of a sudden they weren't the same employee or the employer they used to be because their emotions got into it. Our thoughts will determine our attitude, and that's where it should be. Think on these things that God wants for our life. Remind yourself, too, when it comes to your attitude, whatever is happening with your life, it's not over yet. God still has a plan for you. God still has something better ahead. Second of all, our thoughts determine our approach to life. Our thoughts determine our approach to life. And as I said at the beginning of this, is every one of us have gone through victories and defeats. And going back to the other career that I've had for about 28 years is I have won elections, and I'm just sharing this very candid. I'm not talking politics, but I'm just talking from personal experience for me. And I've won elections to where I've gotten done, and I felt like, wow, it's great. People supported me. And then I've had times where I've lost a couple in the last 28 years, and I've had to determine how I would approach my life after that. And I think that our thoughts determine our approach to life, which means is you still show up, you still contribute, you still go forward, you don't let it knock you down, because that is the way that you want to approach life. But I've seen others that you basically, they had defeat in their life, whether it's political, whether it's job, whether it's religious. I've seen friends of mine that were trying to get an opportunity to pastor a new church, and they were not the ones selected, and their hearts got broken, and now they're not even in ministry anymore because, you know, ministry isn't easy. You can ask Pastor Tony and others in ministry here. It's not easy. People sometimes say, I want to go into ministry because that seems to be a luxury job and an easy job. Let me tell you this, where there are ups and downs, there are defeat. There are people that will be with you, and there are people that will abandon you. The Apostle Paul covers this quite a bit about folks that had abandoned him. You go through this. If you let your thinking, your heart and your emotion control your thinking, you will wash out in any arena of life, including spiritual or ministerial. But if you allow your thoughts to be controlled by God, you will find that will determine your approach to life. It's always another day. There's always tomorrow. There's something new to be done. In some ways, personally for me right now, I'm kind of excited about what could be next. I begin to think about writing. I begin to think about these things. I begin to think about things that I want to do. And I believe, as Teddy Roosevelt had taught so well, nobody should only do one thing in life. In fact, he believed that you ought to have two or three main vocations in life to challenge yourself. And I'm looking forward to the new challenge, not only here at Cornerstone, but whatever God has for me, because I think it's important to continuously do things. I think folks live longer when they have something to do. I've seen folks that retire, do nothing, their health drops, and they die off. But I think it's important to have that approach to life, but it starts with your mind, knowing that God has something ahead. The next one, our thoughts determine our altitude and where what we achieve in life. Success is what everybody wants. If you get a job, you want to be promoted. You want to make more money. If you're in college or high school or whatever you may be, you want to be able to pass that test and go to the next grade and achieve. If you're in extracurricular sports or whatever club it may be, debating team or whatever, you want to be able to achieve. And your thoughts will determine your altitude and how high you can go in whatever you choose to do. Like I said earlier, is that watching sports, you can always tell when the team lost, just long before the game is over, because their thoughts begin to determine how high they can go in that. The next one is our thoughts determine our appreciation and thankfulness. One thing I said about last week, and I feel a little bit about spirituality, maybe the week before, is you know that you're growing spiritually when you no longer are attached to stuff. Now, there's nothing wrong with having nice things. Like I said, I got a new snowblower with the heated grips. I really didn't need it, but it came with it. But to me, sometimes people get attached to stuff. And that is a sure sign that the spiritual withdrawal is when the things around, material things, are more important. That's one thing, Donna, people always ask what my favorite holiday is. My favorite holiday is Thanksgiving, because there's no really pressure to do anything. I have always battled with Christmas. Don't get me wrong. I battle with Christmas the way society has arranged it today. I love the story. I love the original story. I love all that. I love the Christmas movie. We watched Hallmark movie yesterday. Same way. Every movie starts and ends. I can write the script. I enjoy all the seasonal things with family and stuff. But the way that it has gotten so material and so stressful and so competitiveness that you have to have the right things. And I can tell when somebody is lacking a spiritual growth is when they're so stressed out about making sure everything is met and the material things are gained. But here's the thing. Every material thing you have will go away. Every material thing you have will rust away. Everything you have breaks down. When it's first shiny and new, it's exciting, but it goes away. And I think it is a sign of a lack of appreciation and thankfulness for what God has given us. And I think a suicide of spiritual growth is when the stuff really doesn't matter as much as the family, the friends, God's work, service, all those things. And I think it has a lot to do with appreciation and thankfulness. Our thoughts determine how to be thankful. I'm thankful for my family. I'm thankful for my wife. I'm thankful for my health. I'm thankful for our church. I'm thankful for those things we have here. And when I go home, there are nice things that we have there. But in all reality, one day, none of that's going to matter. Invest yourselves in the things of God. Invest yourselves in the things of family. Invest yourself in your kids and your grandkids, your great-grandkids, in lighting. To me, it's important to realize, and I really believe our thoughts. I have seen people that will go out and they will buy the new thing, and they will post it on social media. I got this. Oh, this is such a great thing. And 3 weeks later, that isn't satisfying enough. They want something else. And to me, appreciate the important things. And I think that comes down to what our mind is. Our mind, to me, our mind controls our appreciation and thankfulness. And God wants us to be thankful for the things, you know, that are around us. He said, whatever is pure, whatever is holy, whatever is these things there, think on these things. So our thoughts determine our appreciation and thankfulness. And the last one here, our thoughts determine our ability for healthy relationships. Let's face it, every relationship has its struggles. We do too. When you go through defeats, there's sometimes an automatic drawing away from people. Sometimes your own self-image will determine how you respond to somebody else. Sometimes when you're in an environment to where you think you're intellectually kind of not in the same league with somebody, that can be a difficult situation. We go through a lot of times, and relationships are difficult. God puts unique individuals together, sometimes the opposites attract and they come together, but over time, it's very difficult to maintain that relationship the way you want it. But it comes down to your thoughts. It comes down to your thinking, your ability to have healthy relationship. If you think about others before yourself, that will have a healthy relationship building block. If you have a healthy thinking about your future, even in defeat, that will help your relationships. What I had gone through in the last few weeks or whatever, you got the kids and you got people calling and stuff, and seriously, you know, I wanted to say, and there were some folks even here who helped me out a great deal, but it was very difficult. But I would say to you, is to maintain a relationship is to have a healthy thinking about who you are. Do not be defined by what you do. Be defined about who you are. Because what you do will change. What you do will change. You will have certain abilities now that may go away. And if you are built upon your definition of who you are based upon what you do, you will be defeated. Because if you only think that you're important and you're successful by what you can do and accomplish, then you got the message all wrong. Your thinking should be is who you are in Christ. Who you are to the people that love you. They don't care that you make the most money. They don't care that you have the most of everything. People who really love you are not interested in all the things that you can achieve. The people who love you no matter what. And politics is the only thing is after you lose an election, you really start to find out who the people who really love you are. And I've already seen that happen a little bit. But I'm so thankful that the people I thought were the true friends and stuff have turned out to be exactly that. Because their love for me and like for me wasn't based upon what I achieved or what I could do for them in a particular office. It was based upon the fact of common like to each other and love as brothers and sisters. See, our thoughts determine our abilities to have healthy relationships. Even with people that we oppose in ideas. Because you know what? Everybody has a right to their ideas. And we have a right to our ideas. But our thoughts will determine our ability to be in healthy relationships. And that's why it's important to go back to the scripture, to transform our minds, to renew our minds on things of God, to make sure that we're thinking on things that are holy and pure, things that are sustainable. Think about the fact that let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. To me, there's so many things that we need to understand about life in general. All starts with how we choose to think. Before I get in the walk away, I have to say to our trustees and Pastor Tony and our trustees, beginning of the year, we came into the new year financially, it was going great. And all of a sudden, our offerings dropped probably by 85%. I'm going to guess that's a good percentage there. And we met, we talked, and the first thing that we felt to do is communicate what we're going through to the church. Because obviously, for some reason, folks aren't contributing. And I firmly believe that nobody should be overly contributing. I think everybody's sharing and being together and supporting the ministry. But we had to evaluate ourselves. What are we not doing to communicate? And obviously, we try to do our best to give money away and be a blessing to other things. We're constantly supporting organizations, and we will continue to do that. And what I liked about the tone of the meeting, which our chairman Tom heads up, is there was serious talk about where we are, but there was not defeatism. It wasn't about cutting everything back, although for a short time there with the leaders, I did say we're going to freeze spending until we figure out what we're doing. But if it's vital to the membership, if children ministry needs something, teens need something, those are vital. But all of a sudden we communicated. We didn't lack in faith. We didn't start panicking. We didn't readjust the budget. We didn't do any of those things. We prayed about it. We talked about it. We communicated about it. And all of a sudden, about a good 6 months ago or so, we started seeing things pick up to the point to where we are seeing God continue and grow and bless. And we're going to have a budget meeting in the coming months of January. We're waiting to the end of the year because we want to measure things on the last 6 months, not the first 6 months. And what I found, though, in this, that I could walk in those meetings and the trustee could say, we want to cut salaries, or we want to do this, or maybe we need to find cheaper rent, or maybe we start to stop helping society. We did things for veterans, we've done things for the food shelf and for the soup kitchen. None of that was talking about taking away from our community endeavors. It was still about having faith and trusting God, but there wasn't an ounce of panic in that conversation. And I really believe it had to do with the thinking. We know this. God has it. God has a plan. And I think God sometimes wants to see how we respond to the tough times to give us in the good times. And we're not where we want to be yet. We got further to go. But I can tell you, our hearts have been blessed by just the response from God's people, the things we're able to accomplish, the things we're able to do for community. But I like the fact I'm surrounded by people who have the right thinking. Because I never once entered into those meetings thinking to myself, I need to lead these folks into meetings, cutting the budget. I walked in trying to encourage, and I hope I did to the men and women that are involved in our leadership team, our trustees, is that don't panic. We're going to get through this, and God's got something better ahead for us. See, to me, it's about your thinking, how you approach. And I believe that God blesses the right thinking. We put our mind in Christ. When we allow God to transform our mind, when we allow God to enter into our thinking, when we seek God, when times when we should be seeking God in our thinking, when everything else seems to be going bad, and we tell God, God, I'm looking to you, I think God comes through. So you talk about in church that God works through the heart. I want to tell you, God works through the brain, through the mind, and through the intellect. And I think he wants us to see that we trust him not only in our heart emotionally, but in our mind, that we know you have something. Here's the final walk away. We are today what our thoughts were yesterday, and tomorrow we will become what our thoughts are today. We are today what our thoughts were yesterday, and we will be tomorrow what our thoughts are today. Tomorrow basically will be exactly what you planned it out to be in your head. If you go into the day saying, God's got control, tomorrow's going to be God's got control. And where you are today determines your perspective, your perceptions, your reality about where you're going. So let that mind of Christ be in you. Think on the way that he thinks. Trust in his ability to guide your mind. And as it says in one scripture, don't be anxious and worrisome about things. Because even though in our mind we don't know how it's going to work out, and our heart doesn't know how to work out, the scriptures are very clear. That God says in scripture, he's never seen his children forsaken or begging bread. There's a lot of scripture that tells us, don't worry. Don't be anxious for anything, but seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. See, think on those things. And that goes back to last week. If you have a biblical understanding, because that's where you get insight, you can only recall what you've read. So if you're reading your Bibles and you're looking for truths, it will come to light when your thinking needs it. So fill your mind with the things of God and allow him to your mind, to control your heart, to control your actions, to control your outcome. And that's the lesson for today as we end this year, trying to give you insights as we begin to get ready for a new year. Choose your thinking. Every head bowed, every eye closed in just a moment. As I said a couple weeks ago, after we did the series on prophecy, which I thought was exciting, I enjoyed it thoroughly, we said that just want to kind of do some practical things. Tony did a great job with his message on urgency, emergency. I just really realized that right now, we wait, it's usually this January to do our new series, and usually it's something, we're going to do it on the book of Genesis, but we're also going to use it to give us insight for living. There are a lot of great stories that we can learn practical things as we begin anew. We're going to try to tie the two together because we know it's important to give you some food when it comes to the new year. But I think people, before they even start the new year, they already think about how can I get ready to adjust things in life. Well, I talked about spiritual growth last week, and today I'm talking about choose your thinking. As you go through this holiday season, begin to say to yourself and talk to yourself and talk to God, saying, I am going to let God control my mind. I'm going to get into scripture so my thinking's correct. I'm going to read more in scripture so I have that to fall back on, and I'm going to choose my thinking. Because as the scripture says, I know that all things work together for good to those that are called according to God's purpose. I know all things are going to work out, and that's my thinking. I'm going to end this year well, and I'm going to begin 2019 very well. It will help your relationships, it will help your approach to life, your attitude, your altitude, and your appreciation. And I hope that's helped you today. If you need prayer for anything ever, we encourage you to pray for one another. You may be here this morning and just say, listen, that helped me a lot. I got some things I'm praying about. If you'd like to pray with somebody right now, there's some folks in the back that would be happy to go off to the side and just have a quiet word of prayer with you. Maybe there's something you're struggling with. Maybe that lesson has told you, listen, I just really needed this and I need to change my thinking. And a lot of ways to change your thinking is just to get along with God and say, God, today I'm making a conscious decision. No more of the garbage in, garbage out. Today is going to be you in and you out. If you need to pray with somebody, we have folks available in the back. We've got folks always available throughout the week. So, Father, we thank you so much for just the time we could have together. We thank you, Lord, for simple lessons. I think the best lessons are simple. the best lessons are usually something that we already know, we just need to reinforce in our minds. God, our hearts are important because it does control our emotions, and our hearts is where we accept Christ. But before we can accept Christ in our heart, we've had to first come to an understanding. When we come to an understanding, that convicts our hearts. And God, we understand that our mind and our thoughts are what give us the most success. And God, help us to have the right thinking. Let our minds be in you. If we face a crisis or a challenge or a roadblock or something happens in our relationship, maybe we stop and say, let me think about this, what's the right thing to do? And God, I just pray, Lord, that you renew our lives and strengthen us each day. We ask in Christ's name, amen.